is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop.
Welcome to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Herron. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
Morning, Jason. Glad to be here.
Coach, first off, congratulations. You notched your first region win here and your second stint with the Wildcats. Just want to say congratulations to you.
Took long enough, didn't it? but appreciate it. Anytime you get a win in Region 1, it's a good win, and getting one on the road's even better.
Coach, before we jump into this, I just kind of want to say I'm really encouraged by Friday night. I felt like we played well. I don't think we played great, and yet we found a way to win the football game, which is what good teams do. And I don't feel like that our ceiling is what we showed Friday night in the Richmond Hill game. I think our ceiling is a lot higher than that from what I saw. I think there are a lot of things we can get better at.
Well, I agree with everything you said, Jason. I was very, very frustrated early in the game with our offense. And, our first three plays, we go three and out. And we make three mental mistakes that, things that we worked on for 2 weeks. And, we go out there and we have three juniors that are starting for the first time, in a pressure game like that, a region game. And we made three mental mistakes that, they hadn't made in practice in, months. And, then we drop a pass, a touchdown pass. Then we make another mental mistake on a fourth and a foot call that I wish I could have had a challenge flag on down inside the 2 yard line, I guess. And then we miss a field goal, and all this happens in the first quarter, and I'm sitting there shaking my head, going, what is going on with these guys? And we came back and looked at the film, and we did some really good things, but we didn't play as well as I felt we could or would, and you can be discouraged by that, or you can be encouraged by that, and. I told our kids, I called them out on Sunday when we had our film, and I said, look, you can't play scared. You can't play nervous. You can't play, with apprehension when you go into a hostile environment. That's something that we're better than that. And, I think experience, the only way you get over that is to experience it and get through it. And, certainly, I think that other night will help us in that regard. We're getting ready to go into another hostile environment. And, we got to handle it better than we did at Richmond Hill because, quite honestly, we were very fortunate to get to halftime at Richmond Hill tied the other night. And, it could have been a lot worse as poorly as we played on offense in the first half.
Richmond Hill took an early lead. We had the early lead of actually, but what I wanted to mention is the fourth down call where fourth and a foot. Did you think about kicking it all, or were you, hey, let's go ahead and get this thing?
No, I really didn't hesitate on that one. I mean, we were so close. I mean, we were on the 3 yard line, something like that, and we felt like. That's who we are. We've got to be able to convert those things. And so, there wasn't any hesitation there on kicking the field goal. I mean, if it had been 3 or 4 yards, possibly we would have. But, it was fourth and a foot. And, in fact, I still think we made it. But, we didn't get the kindest of spots on that particular call. But we also had a mental mistake on it and didn't block somebody right at the point of attack. After you don't make it, you always think, well, yeah, maybe we should have kicked it there. But, no, I felt like that, again, was the right decision, and we kept them backed up. You know, so we got it again, and then wound up missing a field goal. So I wouldn't have done anything different in that situation at all.
So as we mentioned, Richmond Hill took an early lead, and then Quan Floyd, 61-yard touchdown pass, one of two for Mason Robinson to Quan Floyd on the night. Talk about I felt it up in the booth when we scored right there before the half out of nowhere, because I don't think they thought that we were going to try and throw the ball down the field like that, and then we did and we score. You could just feel the momentum come to our sideline. I could feel it.
Well, I think so too. Because I think our kids knew that we hadn't played well. They were, especially offensively, they knew we hadn't played real well. And, just to get a big play and get some momentum going into halftime was a big deal. And, yeah, it was, I thought, a big turning point for us. But, the other side of that was it was something we had seen on film we thought would be there. We were waiting on the right time to do it. And, we happened to get the ball back with enough time to set it up. And then kids executed it great. And, it certainly caught Richmond Hill off guard. It was a big play because, again, it was tied at halftime, but I think the way it happened and the way our kids played, we felt like we were ahead at halftime, so it definitely lifted my spirits, I think, along with everybody else.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Hare on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, we go into the halftime. We're tied at 7, like you said. We feel like we're ahead. What did you say to the kids at the half?
Well, we just talked to them, I bragged on the defense, so we had them, they were separated in two locker rooms, and I always go in and talk to them before I talk to the coaches. And when I went into the defensive locker room, I went in there and bragged on them and told them they were playing really well and, not to let up, had to keep doing what we were doing. Then I went into the offensive locker room and I got on them a little bit because of what I said earlier, we're better, we're six, whatever, eight games in it or seven games in it right now. We're better than going out there and just making mental mistakes. And, I was frustrated with that. And we weren't staying on blocks. We weren't playing as well offensively as I thought we could. So it challenged them a little bit more. And, the defense was playing good. There wasn't any reason to get on them. They were playing really good. And I thought we could play better offensively. And so that was kind of the tone of the halftime talk.
Coach, their running back that we talked about last week, who's committed to the Citadel, I felt like in the second half we really bottled him up in particular. Did a good job the whole game, but particularly in the second half. And then that receiver that they had, who had a good many catches in the first half, in the second half, he might as well not even put on a jersey because we took him out of the game completely in the second half. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, again, defense played really well. And, when we were – I felt like one of the turning points was being able to stop the run. And when we were ahead and they couldn't run it on us as like they had some other people, it made them a little more one-dimensional, which allowed us to do a little more stuff in the, pass defense scenarios. But, they were still dangerous, and, they're still a good football team. But, our kids played well. I mean, our kids, they knew they were pretty good, and they responded to that challenge.
All right, more to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit. Or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Are you looking for a better way to bank? Hometown people that you know? Look no further than Marshland Credit Union. Marshland Credit Union is here to help, no matter if it's a mortgage, car loan, or even finding financing for that boat you've always wanted. 7 convenient locations in Glenn and surrounding counties, checking, savings, you name it. Marshland Credit Union wants to be the answer to your banking needs. MarshlandCU.com, 912-279-2000. Marshland Credit Union, a better way to bank. Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, and by Marshland Credit Union. Coach, we score our second touchdown on another passing play, a minute 19 to go in the third quarter, around a 70-yard touchdown pass to Quan Floyd again. Was that the same call that we had, the touchdown pass, the first one?
No, it was a different play. It was a real good play call by our offensive staff, and we were in a real I think you said 70 yards. I think it was a lot closer than that. If I remember, we had driven the ball pretty good, and because we were in a real run-heavy formation for us, and they were kind of overplaying it, the run, a little bit, and so we were able to slip him out. But, no, it was a different play call.
Okay.
Similar result, looked the same, but it was certainly a different play call, different formation and everything. But, you know, Mason made a great play because we did not block it right. And, you know, he had a guy in his face almost immediately because we missed an assignment up front. And so he's kind of running for his life and scrambling backwards. He might have thrown it 70 yards far back as he had to go, but he was able to get it off. And Quan made a really good catch as well.
Falling backwards.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was a huge, huge play for us there. You know, it was first down, I believe, and we were driving the ball, and, you know, we'd gotten a little momentum going offensively. But you know, to have that, you know, home run there in that situation, give us a little more momentum going into the fourth quarter, was big.
Well, shoot, Coach, I'm not going to lie to you. That's one of the toughest games as far as getting spots right that I've had to call. We're not very high up there in the press box, and the yard markers were not very well marked off, and the lighting on the field not quite as bright as what we've got here at Chris Gilman. Lawton and I struggled the whole night getting spots right exactly, and there were several times when the balls got to the each side of the end zone, we just told the fans it's somewhere around the 15. We don't really know exactly where.
You know, ironically, Jason, it's the first game we've played this year on grass.
Huh.
I mean, here we are in the around games we've played, the first game we played on grass, which also means it's the first game we've played on a crown field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're standing on our sidelines with the crown of the field, I mean, we were having a terrible time seeing what was happening on the other side of the field. And our film situation, you know, everybody was crammed in the press box up there, and our film situation was not good. Our filmers, you know, it was like they were filming from 5 miles away. And so that contributed to our first half issues, no question, because, you know, everybody uses that sideline replay now, and we couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and the play clock went out, you know, mm-hmm. and so we were trying to depend on the referee for that, and it, you know, it kind of got us out of sync too. But I bet I must have asked 10 times, okay, where's the ball? You know, where's the ball? You know, is it, you know, how much we need? Is it 2nd and 7? Is it, you know, what mm-hmm. is it? And, but, you know, again, that was old school football there, and, you know, it wasn't anything wrong with it. And, you know, Richmond Hill, they were great hosts, and, you know, they're building new facilities and stuff. But, yeah, that was kind of going back in time there a little bit, I guess, and playing on the grass and the crown field and all that. So, you know, probably won't have that again this year. I know we don't have it in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Most people you play in the playoffs anymore, they're not playing on grass either.
Yeah, just a funny tidbit from what you just said. We'll move on. You're talking about the play clock. The girl that was in charge of the play clock, you said everybody was squeezed in the press box. The girl that was in charge of the play clock was actually standing over my shoulder handling the play clock.
Wow.
That's how tight it was. All right, Coach. So in the fourth quarter, right as the fourth quarter gets started, Jamarlee Riddle breaks what, in my opinion, is one of the more impressive punt returns that I've seen in quite some time. I've got him down as a 65-ish yard punt return. Made a couple guys miss. broke a couple tackles, had a vision enough to pick up a couple blocks. It was just a thing of beauty. And then once he got in the open field, he can run a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know, the funny thing about that, though, is we were trying to return punts early in the game. We'd worked real hard on during the week, and we were trying to set up returns. And the guy kept punting it away from us and to the other side or whatever, and we just we couldn't get – they lined up in a different formation than we had practiced. First time they'd lined up like that all year long. They lined up like we do, actually. And so our kids were a little thrown off about it, and we never could get it just right. We were always missing one or two guys, and we just couldn't get a good return. Well, at halftime, literally the last thing we did coming out is we took the punt block team, and we drew up where they were at and talked about, the two options. We were going to try to block one, or we were going to try to, return one. And we tried to block the first one, didn't get to it. So the next one we tried to return with a little different return than we had practiced, and worked out different. It worked out well, and Jake Lindsey, our other returner, had a key block. He kept the guy off of Marley that got down clean, and then everybody else was doing a good job on their men. And then Marley did those Marley things that he can do, made some guys miss, ran through the punter and another guy there at the end. That was a huge, huge play for us.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, so then that puts us up 21-7. And I guess it was about, 4 minutes and change. And Richmond Hill's driving, and they get to a fourth down, and we stop them. And, once again, our defense makes a play, and it looks like we pretty much got the game in hand, up 21-7. Offense comes on the field, probably looking, I'm sure you're probably looking just to run the clock as much as you could. And we fumble the football and give it back to him in good field position. What happened there?
Yeah, we fumbled the first play. Very, very frustrating. Only one of the simplest plays we got. But, Deontay Cole was the ball carrier and Mason Robinson the quarterback. And we just had a bad exchange. And, between Deontay being out for 7 weeks and Mason being out the last, 2 or 3 weeks, they hadn't got many reps at it. And I guess for lack of a better reason, that's all I can tell you is that, it just didn't click. We just missed the exchange. And very frustrated again. I told the kids again Sunday, I told them that, I felt like after we scored and got up 21-7, the one thing I felt bad about was we relaxed. We relaxed as players, as coaches, as fans. Maybe, it's like, we had a lot of momentum and we relaxed and we let them drive down and get into a scoring position. And then we held them. And then when we held them, we go out there and turn it right back over and put ourselves in a bad situation. But good news was, they ran a great, had a great play call and scored. And we go out there with our hands team and recover an onside kick. And, were able to run the clock out, which is something that we couldn't do last year. So felt good about that and the way it ended, with us the ball taking the knee. But we should have never been in that situation. And, if we had taken care of business in the first half or we had taken care of business right there, it wouldn't have been as close. But then the fans wouldn't have got their money's worth, I guess.
And I want to ask you a question right there at the end of the football game. We're lining up to take the victory celebration or take the victory knee. We do it once, and then you call timeout and have the offense come over and talk to you. What were you saying to them? Why did we take the timeout right there? Do you remember?
Well, we had a – something happened on the first one. And, we had a procedure penalty. And I couldn't figure out what went wrong. And, they were our players were discussing it rather heatedly amongst themselves. And so the clock was already stopped, so we called timeout and got them over there and said, what the heck's going on here,
Got it.
And, their reason was, somebody on Richmond Hill's team yelled something and we jumped or whatever, but, we got it fixed. And, I didn't feel like calling a timeout at that point was going, this clock was already stopped, it was going to hurt us, but We wanted to make sure we didn't fumble that and look like idiots with them tying the game up while we're in victory formation.
All right, so a 21-14 region win puts us 1-0 in the region, tied atop the region right now with Valdosta, and we'll talk more about what's to come on the other side of the break. We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Family fun in the Golden Isles for all ages? Brunswick Adventures, family-friendly indoor play place. Bounce houses for the little ones and a trampoline park for all ages. Locally owned and operated. Don't forget the party rooms for your private events or that special birthday. Brunswick Adventures, 5581 Habersham Street in Brunswick, 912-342-7427 for more information. Or check us out online, brunswickadventures.com. Football season is here and we are going long at Jessup Furniture. Living room suits, dining room suits, patio furniture, luxury furniture at outlet prices, all the brands you like, Universal, Hooker, Ashley, and more. Jessup Furniture, over 50 years of helping people just like you. 651 Scranton Road in Brunswick, just down from Old Times, 912-267-1897, and look for daily deals on both Facebook and Instagram. Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Brunswick Adventures and by Jessup Furniture. All right, Coach, so, you know, as I mentioned, head into break, we're 1-0 in the region, 5-2 overall. We won five straight football games, 1-0 in the region, sitting atop, tied with Valdosta currently. Colquitt had the week off last week, and now we head over to the Hog Pen to play the Colquitt County Packers in their first region bout, and a game that, you know, if we can find a way to win that football game, which, you know, most folks, they like Colquitt to win the region, not just Friday night, but to win the whole region, we find a way to win that football game, we firmly take grasp of that region, don't you think?
Well, yeah, if we find a way, we would firmly take grasp, I guess, but you know, I'd probably have a better chance going out here fighting a wild hog with a pocket knife than, you know, going over there and playing Friday night. But Colquitt's got a great team, Jason. They're, in fact, I think it's the best team I've ever seen with them. And I've seen some good ones. But I think from top to bottom, all phases of the game, they probably got their best team ever. And I think they're the favorites to win our region. I think they're the favorites to win state. You know, I think them and Buford are maybe head and shoulders above everybody else right now. But, you know, again, stranger things have happened, you know, and we're underdogs, I guess. We were 19-point underdogs last week to Richmond Hill. So I don't know if they have a chart that goes up as high as, you know, we're going to be this week. But, you know, again, if we can talk enough players into going, we're going to go over there and see what we can do.
Coach, they're loaded. They got two guys at receiver committed to Georgia. Quarterback's really good. Offensively, they're next level. And defensively, they're not too shabby either. Talk a little bit about what they do and the challenges they present.
Well, I'll start with the offense. You know, since you brought it up, the two receivers are exceptional. I mean, Georgia's recruiting one of them as a tight end. And if anybody knows anything about college football, you know, Georgia doesn't just recruit anybody at tight end. You know, you got to be extra special. And, you know, one of the Georgia coaches told me earlier in the spring that the kid was, he was the number one tight end in the country. Not the county, the country. And he certainly, he looks like it. And he's a great football player. And then they've got the receiver out there who I was telling you earlier that, you know, I've heard has run 23 miles per hour with that catapult system. And, you know, three of Alabama's offensive starter skill players, you know, they were bragging on them for running 22 the other night on TV. So both of those kids are next level, you know, future NFL type kids. And the quarterback and running back are both really good at returning starters for them. And then they've got other receivers. I mean, you know, that's just what they do. So, you know, I think they're better from a scheme-wise this year than they were last year. And I think they've got better players because a lot of them are the same players. They're just a year older, a year bigger and stronger. So they present a huge challenge, not just for us, but anybody. I mean, there's nobody slowed them down this year. I mean, not stopped them. There's nobody slowed them down this year. And then you turn around, you put the film on the other side of the ball on defense. You know, Colquitt's always been pretty good on defense, but that's never what they hung their hat on, probably. But, you know, their defensive coordinator is doing a great job, and, you know, they're not as big as, you know, you're going to see the next week with Valdosta, and you know, physically not as big, but everybody over there can run and hit, and they seem to enjoy that. And, you know, they scare you because, you know, you can block them, but they'll get off blocks and make plays. And then their special teams is really good. You know, they added a coach this year named Stan Luttrell, who's a great man that I've known for a long time. And his little boy, Jack, who's not a little boy anymore, he's a full-grown man. You know, when they moved to Moultrie, he came with him, and he's had a huge impact on their team because he's like Jake Lindsey to us. And, you know, Jack's committed to Tennessee. He's their punter. He's their punt returner. He's their kickoff returner. He's their safety on kickoffs. He plays receiver for them. He plays safety for them. And you can just tell. I mean, you know, he's a coach's kid. He gets it, and he's elevated the other people around him. And, you know, if he hadn't moved in, you know, I don't think they'd be as good as they are. But when you add him to the mix and all those other good players they had, I do sincerely believe that this is the best Colquitt team I've ever seen.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, last year Colquitt comes over here, and you know we go to overtime and lose that game in overtime. Any way that we use that as motivation to go over there and try to build the kids up? And because I agree with you, Colquitt's a pretty good, dang good football team. You know, we got that game to overtime last year. Are you using that at all to try to motivate the kids?
Well, you know, our kids know that we went to overtime with them last year. Their kids know that we went to overtime with them last year. You know, their kids, a lot of those, their kids played in that game last year. Unfortunately, a lot of our kids stood on the sideline and watched it, you know, last year. Now I think we're better, you know, but I also think they're better, and they've had more experience in big games than we have. So my fear is that, if we go and we act like we did at Richmond Hill in the first half the other night over there, you know, we might not find ourselves in a 7-7 ball game. We might be down 70-0, you know. So we've got to handle the adversity. We've got to handle the environment. We've got to handle all the trip and all that stuff. We've got to handle it better than we did last week against a really, really good opponent who just, they live off momentum. If you let them get momentum, it can get ugly on you in a hurry, is what I've seen on film. And so we've got to handle it better than we did last week. But, you know, last year's just gone, and, you know, again, but, you know, our kids know. They know we played with them last year, and so hopefully that'll help some. But, again, you know, it's two different teams. You know, their team's pretty much the same, just a year older. We've got a different team. Now, again, I think we're better. We're more talented, but we haven't been in the fire like that. And we got in it a little bit last week, and we got worried about it, you know, and hopefully this week we can handle that better.
Thank you for joining us for the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. For Coach Heron, I'm Jason Bishop signing off, and let's go Cats!